This is a replay of the Wednesday night, August 16th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
I'm Raleigh James. We got 3 hours to spend together. Hopefully, I will entice you to call. And if I do, here's the number. 888-876-5593. That's 8888-R-O-L-L-Y-E. All right, now that we got that out of the way. I think we've talked several times that it is uncanny sometimes that you'll see old comic books or things like this, and there'll be people in spacesuits that looked like NASA, had patterned them after the comic book, or even the other way around, and it sort of boggles the mind. But now we have art fans in on the action, and there is a 400-year-old painting, Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. And according to some on social media, this contains Sputnik. All right, now I got to tell you, I've seen this painting, not up close and personal, of course, but in various books and online. And I always thought it looked like the Earth was a VHS television set, and it does. It looks like it has rabbit ears. But in any event, that was my take on it way back when, and never gave it another thought. But now social media users have come up with a conspiracy. Gee, what a shock, right? And they're saying that Russia's Sputnik 1 is lurking in the painting, despite Sputnik being launched in 1957 and the painting being done in about 1597, okay, 1595 to be exact. And so it's a blue sphere, ostensibly the Earth, I would assume, and it's got, two rabbit ears coming from it. That's all I can say. And the conspiratorialists say, no, what this is proof, that the artist traveled forward in time to know about Sputnik. All right, so somebody's just won the indoor Olympics in the conclusion jump category, but nonetheless, Steve Mera, the chairman of the Manchester Association of Paranormal Investigation and Training, said, "You find a lot of religious connotation linked in with the UFO phenomena." This painting was painted in the 1600s, 1595, please, let's be exact, and nobody ever really knew what it was a painting of until we looked at Sputnik. No, I wouldn't go that far. But nonetheless, there are many people who now say this foretells the knowledge of future events. And it's interesting that those who look at the painting not only see the rabbit ears, but they say it's really surprising to the point that there's a little nodule on Sputnik and the exact same nodule on the side in this painting. Now, we assume, by the way, it's the creation globe that's seen in a lot of paintings of the Holy Trinity. I mean, I hate to rain on their parade, but nonetheless, that's probably a given. But it's not the first time that modern gadgets have been spotted in historic paintings. And iPhone is particular. That comes up fairly regularly, and I kid you not. And one theory was that a woman's eyes are glued to an iPhone in Ferdinand George Waldemuller's work. And, of course, it was published a couple centuries before smartphones entered our orbit. But even Tim Cook, former Apple boss, said when he visited Amsterdam in 2016, went to a museum and said, "I saw an iPhone and a 350-year-old piece of artwork hanging on the wall." I assume the artwork was hanging on the wall, not the iPhone. But nonetheless, he said, "I thought I knew when the iPhone was invented, but I'm not so sure anymore." Yeah. And it's interesting how many people see things into, you know, whether it's paintings or television shows or, like I say, comic books. And, you know, I really can't debate that that's not a phenomena. I don't know that I reached the same conclusion, but it is eerie how things from the space program that were developed significantly after, maybe not 350 years, but at least 30, after the events were depicted in artwork or video or something of this nature, bear an uncanny resemblance. So that's where you get into the chicken and egg argument. Yeah, which came first? Yeah, did NASA pattern their stuff after comic books? Gosh, I hope not. But nonetheless, there you have it. So 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. So, got an article. "I live in the most dangerous city in the United States. It's so bad you don't go out after dark, and the mayor has brought in a curfew." So what's the city? Well, Marlo and Jackson's not far from it. So, Marlo, welcome back to WGN Radio. Gotta get my magic twanger out here and plunk it for you to be on the air. All right, okay, Froggy, here we go. All right, so, Marlo, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Isn't that Memphis, Tennessee, or Nashville?
It's Memphis. It's Memphis. People, yeah. People say that Memphis is the most dangerous place to live in the United States. I find that impossible to believe. What do you think?
Well, I don't want to talk about it, but it's pretty tough.
Oh, man. So I realize homicides are up. I guess in 2020, there were 327 of them, which was a 37% increase. But, you know, I recognize Memphis has its dicey areas. We've all kind of known that. But the idea that crime is so bad that you can't go out after dark, I'm having a little trouble with that.
It is. Like I said, I don't like to, you know, but it's pretty bad.
Oh, jeez. Jeez. Yeah, well,
I've been listening to the news a lot in this.
Fortunately, Jackson does not have the same problem. So what's happening tonight in Jackson?
Now, one of our bass players that played with the Jacksonians, Jimmy Morris, he passed away.
Oh, no.
And I just want to give him a condolence. Once upon a time, he was the baddest bass player on the road.
Oh.
Said, but he was before his time, you know. He played on Hooker to the Mule and
Yeah, but he wasn't old. He was only like, what, 74 or something?
Yeah, right, 74, 75.
Yeah, I didn't think he was an older guy. So that's
he took sick the other night. He just woke up about 9 and told his wife he couldn't hardly breathe. He was having trouble.
Wow.
And about a minute, it was over. They quit. And he hasn't been sick of me and Jimmy talk all the time.
Oh, this man.
Too.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I know. A 1967 graduate of Mary High. And, yeah, he absolutely was well-known in Jackson, that's for sure. And his music, of course, people might not have recognized his name, Jimmy Lee Morris, but they certainly would recognize his bass work. So,
I know it. He played on Hooker to the Mule and California Dreamin'. If you listen to him good, or you know, in the, on the going out on the end of them songs, he really, him and my brother and another guy named Junior Webb, they really was tight, you know, in what they did. My brother played drums, but no, he played drums.
Wow. Wow, well, what a shame. So it was just sort of a sudden thing out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's
well, you know,
you when it happened quick.
That's the way to go. None of us have ever said, "Dear Lord, let us linger." So, sure,
nope.
If we're going to go, that's the, you know, good for him as far as that goes. But it's always a shock to those of us left behind.
Yeah, that's true. And there's another guy passed away, well, a few years ago, Darryl Neely. That's how I heard about the Scott Brothers.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where they know he passed, but he used to play trumpet with the Scott Brothers out of Chicago.
Wow.
Darryl Neely, yeah, he passed away. I don't know if they knew it or not, you know, if they listen and they know now, but yeah. He used to play trumpet with them.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, like that old saying said, this ain't your home. You just passing through, so.
Well, that is for sure. Yeah, and the longer we're here, the more we lose people that we wish would continue to be on this particular earth at the same time we are. But it seems like every day we're losing them.
Yeah, I know my dad used to tell me years ago, he'd be sitting there, he said, after a while, people going to be passing, dying so quick, for you more want another one coming.
Well, of course, and as I say, it's a function of age. The older we get, the faster it goes because, it's just, death really waits for no one. We all go that way. So as we get older, we're more in the group of people who are likely to go.
Right. Sitting here, knees out the riders and
yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. And I told my sister, my records got to hear them do something. My knees and arms. Now, I ain't been to hold my saxophone and sing and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Get up on that stage.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Whenever, if I ever hit it good, Rob, I'm going to be on your show.
Oh, absolutely.
Before I go on and say, I'm going now to your show. Y'all turn it on to Ronnie James.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely.
Right now, and 10 to 1.
Yeah, even better than that, if you can in any way come on the show after you go. I mean, that's the call we really want. I know it'll be very long distance, but we want to know all about it.
I'm going to show do it.
All right. I'm going to hold you to that.
You're going to have so many call in, and when I get through advertising you, you're going to say, well, what in the world going on? I'm going to come on and from 10 to 6 in the morning.
Well, let's not do that.
Do you like that?
Well, no, that's a little over the top. Yeah, well, yeah. No, but sadly, it is sad. Like I just read that Jerry Moss, the M in A&M Records, he just died. And he's a little older, though. He was in his 80s. But even so, I thought, oh, man. Yeah, one by one by one, there's not many left.
I know we were with MGM when the Ovations and some more people were with MGM at that time.
Right.
Yeah.
MGM was an interesting little label because they would wind up, not too little actually, but they would wind up with a hit and a hit group like they had Tommy Edwards back in the 50s or then, they're the ones who broke the cow sills. I'm not sure they want to admit it, but they'd have periods where they had some great acts.
They did.
Yeah. Then the rest of the time, it's like, what is going on at that label? You know, so it's very interesting how they have kind of spurts of success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. You hit the nail on the head.
Yeah,
I always enjoy. I told John, show sound good. I was glad to hear his voice, too. I'm glad he's doing as well as expected, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I thought I'd let you know, and we just got to, live to be prepared for because, things going to happen.
Well, I'm sorry to hear the news, but very glad you let me know.
Yeah, I sure am. My sister told me to tell you hello. I'm going to call Rob. I said, why you ain't calling yet? I'm going to get around to it. Did you see that CD I sent up there?
Yes, absolutely. The video, absolutely.
I haven't even saw it yet.
Oh, man.
I haven't even saw it. No, I should have looked at it before I sent it because it might have been terrible.
Yeah. Gee,
and that's the one at the Carl Perkins Center.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, it was too short. Too short. I would have liked it to be an hour long.
Well, my sister, she recorded hers too, but she didn't want to send it to you because she did the show, but she's showing all that when she practiced and all that was on hers. Yeah. I said, Riley wouldn't have mind.
No, I'd have loved it.
Yeah, so I'll tell her to do it anyway. Yeah. I talk to her. I tell her to send it to you anyway.
Oh, that's great. I'm so glad that the magazine recognized her. She deserves it.
Yeah. She's doing Dream Girl start Thursday night.
Oh, wow. Good.
She's doing Dream Girls.
Good. That's
so
excellent.
It starts Thursday night. I thought it'd do one night. She said they do, six, seven, eight shows.
Yeah.
Yeah,
while they're there, sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's
good. Anyway, Miss Riley, nice talking to you.
All right.
And,
likewise, stay safe. Stay out of Memphis.
No, I ain't going to laugh at all this bad, man. These jokers losing their mind. They just want to just get out. It's certain places in Jackson. If you walk down a certain street at a certain time of night, these guys out there rob and shoot you.
Oh, jeez. Jeez.
You need to be in the bed. We went to bed. TV go off at 10 o'clock. Stores close on Saturday and Sunday. And 6 o'clock they close, you know, during the weeknights. You know, during the weeknights, stores used to close at 6 o'clock.
Wow.
You know, we in the, you know, you was decent years ago, 60, 50, 60, 70.
Yeah.
But now everything open all night. Now you just looking for trouble.
Yeah,
trouble
boy.
Trouble coming at you, rubber. Yeah, sure is.
All right.
But, yeah, it's right. Memphis is pretty tough. You know?
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Nice talking to you.
All
Thank
right.
you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah. And, you know, statistically speaking, Memphis is a mess. It really is. And, in fact, a lot of people are quick to mention Detroit. Memphis, the statistics, you look at the statistics, and by comparison, Detroit is absolutely safer. Yeah, maybe that says it all. All right, but then again, you're talking to a woman who owns a house on the most dangerous street in the county, in Gila County. Yeah, we always know what's going on in our neighborhood because our street is on the police report. So 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I'm sitting here amazed. You know, usually I don't do this, but that file is completely mislabeled. I'm saying, wait a minute, that's supposed to be Spider Jivin'. That's Andy Fairweather Low. Yeah, that's my favorite record on A&M. No, it's actually not. All right, so not nice though. Dancing in the Dark. No, maybe I'll find Spider Jivin', or maybe I never will again. But that was my, you know, one of those weird things because A&M had so many releases and you know, virtually every genre. But when I think what's my favorite record on A&M, the first thing that came to mind was Andy Fairweather Low and Spider Jivin', 1974. Clearly, that wasn't it. All right. yeah, not a laughing matter, actually, because sadly, Jerry Moss no longer with us, but he had a long life and a good one as well. So that's great. But the music industry loses a good one with Jerry, and maybe I'll find Spider Jivin'. And it's really hard to tell at this point. If not, we have Jimmy P, who gave us all sorts of requests, and he's going to hear them all. But it was funny. He said, I got 6 requests. And he said, 1, gave me 2, 3, 5, 6. I said, wait a minute. And so I went back and I played the recording because he left a phone message. I said, John, and he said, there's no 4. So we're not sure what Jimmy P's 4th request was, but I've substituted extra Nutmeg songs, just in case. And hopefully we'll get to hear them all, because Jimmy P has fabulous taste. All right, all that and more coming up, and hopefully your calls too right here. But we'll find out what's going on in the world at large from WGN Radio News on WGN Radio.
I can't survive too much spider jive.
I'm Raleigh James. Well, there he is, Andy Fairweather Low and Spider Jobbin. And when that came out in 1974, that was right around the time John Ara had left WLAC at night, and he was replaced by Spider Harrison. And, of course, Spider heard that and practically made it his theme song, and I was none the happier. In fact, those shows were still sponsored by Randy's Record Shop in Gallatin, Tennessee, where I had to drive, and I did, to pick up my own copy of Spider Jivin'. So I don't know, I'm not sure why, but when I think of favorites on A&M, that trumps them all. And I was thinking about them today because, of course, we heard about the passing of Jerry Moss, which natural causes, 88 years old at home in Bel Air. So I can't say it was totally surprising, but still sad. I don't know anybody who had anything bad to say about Jerry Moss. And boy, when it comes to the record industry, there's no shortage of people who will have plenty to say. But he was a good one. He grew up in the Bronx and went to Brooklyn College and worked for some other labels and then got together with Herb Albert, who had been in a number of places, including Dory. And they were going to form what was Carnival Records. The only problem is, of course, as you know, if you love the Manhattans like I do, there was a perfectly fine Carnival Records in New Jersey. So when they discovered that, whoops, and you know, it's hard to even think that that's possible these days when, you know, of course, on the internet, everything is there and easy to find. But back then, they had not a clue. They incorporated it. They had logos and it's like, uh-oh. And so A&M for Albert and Moss. So yeah, rest in peace, Jerry Moss. It is a loss. They sold the company. I forget what biggie they sold it to, but like for $500 million. Good for them. And then later, the company broke some covenant and they wound up suing them and getting like another $200 million. So it was a nice payday all the way around as far as that goes. So rest in peace, Jerry Moss. And there's no shortage of obits online if you want to know more about his life and times. And they were interesting, that's for sure. So had to play that. But we will get to all of Jimmy P's requests, all five of the six, because the sixth, we don't know what it was. All right. But Jimmy will call and tell us, and maybe not on the air tonight, but he'll probably leave another phone message. And in the meantime, if I hear your phone messages and can play it, that's fine. Phone messages are a little tricky because when I'm not on the air, if we get a whole lot of them, well, there are times I just don't hear them. But if I do hear them, I'll react. Speaking of which, I did hear Johnny D's song finally, Why Not Lisa, that he did for Lisa. Hopefully Lisa's listening because we'll play it later. And thank you. All right. So let's see. Paul is in Iroquois. Welcome to WGN Radio, Paul. Hello, Paul.
Am I on the air?
Live and in the flesh.
Okay. You have an AM radio station and an FM radio station.
Yep. True.
And right now while you're doing the WGN show, mm-hmm. are they playing the same thing as what we're hearing right now, or are they doing...
No. Neither are. Of course, the FM station is the number one station in the county, and be honest with you, I don't listen to it because it's not my taste, but thank God everybody in the county loves it. It's a country blend. I don't know what they're playing right now. I can find out. My AM, which also has an FM translator, you know, that's my love because it's just my obscure R&B oldies, but I will go right now to it and punch it on the stream and see what it is. What it is playing as we speak, I don't know.
I was going to ask you if you could play what they're doing right now.
Oh, nice. We're just playing oldies. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, but that's what we're doing. But no, I can't play what I play there. But anybody can listen online anytime. Just go to kjaa.us and click on listen.
Okay. My other question is, many times disc jockeys use a different name than their real name, and why is that?
Well, a number of reasons. Sometimes the station gives them to you, and the oddest one for me is for several years I was Sean Edwards. Now, what that was originally was there was a jingle. It was a jock, I think his name was Sean Mitchell, and he got fired or quit, and then there was like a Bobby Edwards, and he quit. So they took the jingle, and they edited it together, and it became Sean Edwards. And okay, well, fine, whatever you want. So sometimes it's that way. Some stations, like, oh, God, I remember WJIM in Lansing. every jock had to be named Jim. And so Michael O'Shea became Jungle Jim Williams. Big Jim Davis already had the gym, so that was okay. So that was one. Very often the overnight guy, no matter who he was Johnny Midnight, because they didn't want to spring for new jingles on that. So there could be, 17 Johnny Midnights on the station and they'd never have to change their jingles. Then the other thing is, for a while, there was this theory. And oh, how I love programming theories. And what they said was, for the jingles, that you really needed just three syllables. So if it was going to be Johnny Dark, that's three. Or, it would be Jim Johnson, that's three. So in other words, they were looking for three syllable first and last names. So you heard a lot of those too. But, it could be for any reason. And then some people just change it because they like it. I remember when Jim Hummel came to Miami from St. Louis. This was, 1961. They decided they were going to name him Rickshaw after rickshaws. And it stuck for his whole career after that. He was Rick Shaw, but, it was just one of those plays. So you always got that. But it could be the whim of the program director. It could be the jock themselves, whatever. With Robert W. Morgan, growing up, he was called by his middle name, and he hated it. He hated it to the point that he was almost embarrassed to go out. His middle name was Wilbur. Just hated it. Now, of course, somebody else would just say, okay, I'll be Will Morgan. That's fine, not him. So eventually he became Bob Morgan on the air. And then one day someone said, well, you ought to use your whole name. And so that's how Robert W. Morgan, but he never would admit publicly to what the W was. So,
my next question is, if you were to live on a desert island, what 10 records would you choose to stick with you?
Some of them vary because I'll be on a kick for one for a while and then not. But the couple that never change, one of them would always be Oh My Angel by Bertha Tillman. And another one would be Who Do You Love by the Sapphires. Those would never change. After that, it depends. The other eight would rotate, probably between 100 records that I feel really strongly about.
Mm-hmm.
What
All
else?
Right. Well,
is that it?
That's it.
Yeah, well, happy to be the answer man or woman or whatever. Always good to hear from you, Paul.
Thank you, Ralph.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, so 888-876-5593. Don Steele was interesting, too. His mother, and he was embarrassed about this growing up, obviously, because he graduated high school in 1954. So when you're talking that long ago, it wasn't really a good thing when your mother was a stripper in Hollywood, but that's what she was. In any event, she decided when she was pregnant with Don that she was going to have a famous child. And so at the time, her husband, the last name was Revert, R-E-V-E-R-T. But she decided that, well, I've got to give him an air name. So his legal name is Don Steele Revert. So, yeah, it happens. So and, of course, our own John Records Landecker, and that, of course, Records is his middle name. So it fits, doesn't it? 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. And you've been keeping up with the wildfire in Maui, I know, because it's shocking. Not that it can't happen in a place like that, but it usually doesn't, particularly in the heavily dense tourist area. And, of course, we're all holding out hope for that banyan tree. My money's on the tree. But as I was saying last night, what's really interesting when you get into that type of a cataclysmic event, and it is nothing short of that, you discover you don't have cell phones, and you don't have internet, and you basically don't have electricity, let alone Wi-Fi or anything like that. What you do have is radio. And we talked a lot about this, but today I had read an article that I thought was really interesting. It punctuated my points on that, because it turns out for many people across Maui, all they've got is radio. And if they still have landline phones, not cell phones and things like that, they've got that as well. And what you're hearing on some of the Maui stations is you're hearing the information you don't get anywhere else. For one thing, emergency services and all that, most of the mediums they'd use to get the message across are not available right now. So it's radio that's bringing you the information. But radio has been very frustrated because they haven't had a great line on the latest and greatest events and all those things and what's going on. And so what's been happening there in the last week or, you know, a few days especially, is that residents are calling the radio hosts and informing them of what's going on in their area. But more to the point, are informing them of if they've got extra supplies or if they're in great need. And as one host said, people are desperate. They need diapers. They need formula. The elderly need medication. It rocks you to the core, but it's radio that delivers. And so that is the perfect lead-in to why you need a CC Radio Solar, and you do. Firstly, this is a great radio. It doesn't need to be your emergency radio, though I'll tell you why it should in a moment. But it's got a digital readout and a lighted dial, and it's got a clock and alarm, all those things you want. It's got 5-button presets, so it's latest. It looks good. It's about the size of a brick. You wouldn't think it was an emergency radio until you turned it over and saw, oh man, there's a little hand crank. See, this is the thing with the CC Radio Solar. It works no matter what. And the beauty of this is, you know, you might have a radio, but batteries are dead. You might have a flashlight, batteries are dead. Well, this is both a radio and it's got a built-in flashlight. It's really bright and nice, too. You can use it with batteries, of course. Now, if you've left it in a windowsill for, you know, a day or whatever, it's going to play for a long time because it is solar powered. But let's say for some reason you forgot about that. It's been in the dark. It's been in your closet and now the lights are out. And what do you do now? Well, you grab the radio, you crank the little crank on the back about 20 seconds. It's going to play for 20 minutes and it's going to have enough power that it's going to be able to power your cell phone. Now, you're not going to go ahead and, you know, use your cell phone for long conversations, but if you're talking about getting an emergency call and assuming you have cell service, this radio can probably bring it back to life. But what's beautiful about it, I've mentioned many times that Bob Crane should be knighted because years and years ago, he, like many of us radio lovers, was just infuriated by the state of AM and FM receptivity. Radios just, you know, weren't great at picking up radio stations, and he thought, you know, I could do better. Well, not only did he, and that's the hallmark of all of his radios, no matter what, terrific AM and FM reception, hands down, period. Just wonderful reception. But not only that, all of them have features. And in the case of the CC Radio Solar, it can be your travel radio, it can be your emergency radio, but bottom line is you hope you're never going to be in a situation like Maui. But if you are, something like the CC Radio Solar may be the only way you'll get information. So go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com, and you can read all about it, and you can order online. But since we're talking emergencies, if you're not online or you can't get there, hey, their customer service is just the best, and you can order by phone. They'll answer all your questions, and they're there now. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. You know, I mentioned it's very selective, which it is. You'll get more with this radio than probably the average radio you've ever had. It also sounds good. It really does. The speaker is just tremendous. So I think you're going to love it. And of course, you can go to REI or Amazon for really quick shipping. But if you want the real experience, go to ccradio.com because you'll get great information as well as great options to buy radios, especially that CC Radio Solar. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
Can I come over tonight, darling? Please don't say it too late, for darling, I can't wait to see you again. Oh, please let me kiss you tonight.
Don't WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and those are the Velours, yeah, on Onyx. What a great little label Onyx was. The Velours and the Pearls, and you know, just terrific for New York doo-wop. And they were from Bedford Stuy in Brooklyn. And interestingly, they later, about a decade after that, that was in 57, in 68, they became the Fantastics. And I think they're briefly on MGM and then somewhere else. But in any event, a lot of wonderful things on Onyx. So I'm glad that that Jimmy P had had suggested them. Might have to play Remember before the end of the night. Not sure if we'll get to it, and we'll get to another one of Jimmy P's requests as well. And I'm not only happy to play them because he loves them, and of course doo-wop, we all love doo-wop, but as he pointed out, they were a record that Scotty loved, absolutely adored, perfect for that. And hopefully Scotty is somewhere somehow listening. Would love to think that. All right, so if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine, or else I'll just prattle along. And remember, I do have the tabloids when all else fails. That's right. It could happen. But I was mentioning that Memphis is 2023 list the most dangerous city in America, and statistically that's valid. Now, of course, the statistics are not necessarily reflective of the experience you will have being somewhere or living somewhere, as we know from things like Places Rated Almanac, and you'll see what some of the top choices are, and you go, what are they thinking? But as far as dangerous cities, Memphis, number one currently. St. Louis, Missouri is number two. Oakland, California, the Bay Area is number three. Albuquerque is number four. Baltimore, Maryland is number five. New Orleans is number six. Then Detroit, see? Now, what's eight? Might surprise you as well. Lubbock, Texas. Yeah. Number nine, sorry to bring it up, but Chicago, Illinois. And number 10, Stockton, California. As I mentioned in the past, I was at the California Delta once and needed to leave, and I hadn't driven myself, and I needed to get a car and get out of there. And so I had called Avis or Hertz or, you know, one of those, and I said, I need a one-way rental. And the guy said to me, from Stockton, we can't do that. I said, why not? He said, everybody leaves. Nobody comes. We'll never get the cars back. So I had to have somebody drive me to Oakland, actually, to rent a car to get out of the Delta. But in any event, I can't see the word Stockton without thinking, everybody leaves. Nobody comes. All right, then. There's a slogan you won't see on the license plates. So actually, Albuquerque didn't surprise me, and neither did Baltimore in many ways, because years ago in the 60s, when they would do just murder cities, you know, per capita murder cities, the top three were pretty much invariable: Miami, Albuquerque, and Baltimore. So, you know, and there was a number of reasons for that, which have nothing to do with the current situation. But interestingly, the Miami didn't make the top 10. I'll have to look for where they are on the list. And look for your call next hour. You are going to call, aren't you? You will save me. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Red hot, 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 surprised if you hear him holler jack, red hot French fries and chili mac. I took my vacation in the Suffolk, West PA, had to catch a plane right back.
Went all over town, looked at everything,
but I couldn't find my red hots and chili mac. Oh, when my girl said she wants to eat, she talks about a chicken shack.
I said, oh, wake up, swear we can.
And Chili Mac, oh, when I'm on the liner, or riding on the diner, just before I hit the sack, oh, I asked the Lord above, send me what I love, red hot French fries and Chili Mac.
Down on the Gulf of Mexico, where all the senoritas and the cool cats go, you can bet your life they've got to come back for those red hot French fries and Chili Mac.
Young or old, or rich or poor, folks who have a lot of jack.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Of course, those are the Moroccos, and it's a B-side, actually, of their second release on United in 1959, Red Hots and Chili Mac. And Jimmy P wanted to hear that, and I know that Scotty loved it as well. The A-side was a version of Somewhere Over the Rainbow that's sort of lackluster. But, yeah, every time I hear that, I think, sure wish you would have put a location in that. Yeah, maybe with Thriving Directions. So Red Hots and Chili Mac, can't wait. 888-876-5593. Fran is in Austin. What's happening tonight, Fran?
Oh, the phone was just breaking up. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you fine.
Okay, yeah, you're breaking up crazy.
Really?
Anyway, have you ever thought about having somebody who knows something about dreams on?
Oh, we could do that. Over the years, I've had a number of people, but I'll tell you, the truth is that dreams are specific to the dreamer. The idea that there is something that will be universal is fairly rare. There are many things that tend to be somewhat universal as far as symbols, but overall, the truth is that it is specific to you.
Yeah, that's true. I just find dreams fascinating, but I have been having the same kind of dream. I've always had vivid dreams. That's not new.
Okay.
And there are some dreams that I have that recur, you know, maybe once or twice a year. That's not new.
Okay.
But I've been having the same kind of dreams at least once or twice a week.
So tell me about the dreams.
And, okay, what happens is the first time it happened, I was out somewhere, and I picked up my purse, and it was my purse. I knew it was. Everything about it was mine, except the contents.
Uh-oh.
Nothing in it was familiar to me, and there were even some things in there that I'm like, what the heck is this used for? Or, you know, what's in that bottle? And then I was in a place that was supposedly my home. It's not the place I'm living in now, but it was my home in this dream.
Mm-hmm.
And again, nothing in the house was familiar to me, even though it was my home. And, you know, everybody acted like things were normal, except that I knew that nothing was familiar to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I wake up very disoriented, you know, just kind of in a panic. And it's getting to the point sometimes where I don't even want to go to sleep because I don't want to have those dreams.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, as far as the standard meanings, if you will, whenever you're dreaming about a purse or something like that, there's usually a financial connotation to it in some ways. But the idea of not recognizing anything in it is sort of being in the position of not knowing what's coming, of that insecurity of I don't know anything about this, you know, that sort of a feeling. But again, you know, when you talk about if your house and all that, on the one hand, your house it grounds you and is your identity and is, you know, your safety net, so to speak. And then you open it and nothing seems familiar. It seems like you're waiting for the next shoe to drop.
Maybe that's it. And, you know, so many times we've talked on this show about how people are just feeling pushed to the wall.
Yes.
And I think a lot of this has to do with nothing or very few things seem to be done the same way. Nothing is like it used to be. Okay, this is messed up. I'm just going to make a few phone calls and talk to this person and that mm-hmm. person, and we can straighten this out. Okay, now you can't get a person on the phone.
Right.
And I get the same kind of stuff that with those letters, I was going, yeah, yeah, because I get stuff constantly from, you know, either medical things saying that I owe something. And I've learned now I call to find out, you know, what do I owe and why do I owe this? And because a lot of times I'll find out that it's already been paid, but they're sending me letters wanting to, you know, either take me to collections or, you know, different things.
Mm-hmm.
Things kind of get crossed up. I do you know, have and know how to use a computer and know how to go online, but so many times things are like, I can't get my results from my chart.
Right.
And on a, you know, like the more things are accessible, the more they're inaccessible.
Right.
And just a lot of things going on personally that make me, you know, like, I'm not sure what I'm doing half the time.
Well, I think you got...
what's going to work how.
Right, and I think you got your answer. I think that's, you know, a vivid representation of that. And you're 100% right that things have... There's been absolutely a
shift.
I'm sorry,
Raleigh. For some reason, you're cutting up so bad,
really?
I can't hardly understand.
Okay. I'm wondering whether it's the great old internet, you know, if my upstream is okay. So hang on, and I'm...
Oh, God, now we're alarmed.
I don't know what that is. That's not me. All right. What I'm going to do here is ask Adam if he's getting my signal clear to, and Adam just weighed in and said it's perfectly clear. And yeah, I was looking also at the graph, so I don't think it is at my end. I'm ready to blame myself. And so John says yes, it is. Well, Adam says no, it's not. Well, it can't be the phone.
Oh, okay. Now it's clear. Okay, I don't know. I'm so sorry. I didn't understand. And,
okay. Yeah. Well, John says it could be the phone system, but there's nothing I can do about
it. Yeah, it
that.
Seems to be clear now. Anyway, so okay. I'm so sorry. You were saying, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No,
you.
That's fine. It seems like at this point in time, all of us are in this paradigm shift, the likes of which we've never known before. Life is changing. I mean, we've talked a lot about the advent of digital, and it's a bumpy, bumpy road getting there. And so I think many of us are literally lost at what's coming next, lost at how, like you talk about resolving people. You used to call on the phone and just say, hey, here's my problem. Now you can't even get anyone on the phone. In fact, you can't even find out how to get the person you need on the phone. You know, they'll have a customer service number, but that's, you know, you might as well call Nairobi directly. And, you know, all you want to know is, hey, who is my account contact for this? And good luck on that. So I think that...
Yeah, and if whatever problem you have doesn't fit into the little... you know, whatever their
right.
their online help is.
Right.
You know, and a lot of times, because it's either an accessibility issue or something other than that, it does. My issues do not fall into the usual category.
Well, right. And, you know, I would say that a number of people are in that exact same situation. There is no one-size-fits-all, and that's where we start to think about AI, that they've got their stock answers for their usual problems. But most of us are not satisfied with, you know, an AI interaction. We want a real person who's heard our problem and can resolve it. And that seems to be less and less available. And it is. It's absolutely unnerving. You know, I go for business broadband here at this location, and I'm willing to pay three times what I would for residential because allegedly I've got my own account rep who can help me when there are problems, and there was a huge problem a few weeks ago. Well, I don't have my own account rep. Person is completely MIA, will not return a call, will not return an email, just absolutely useless. So you say to yourself, well, I'm going to get another one. Yeah, well, who do you call? You know, that's the thing. What do you call? You call the 800 number and say, help? No, that's not going to work. You know, I mean, short of, you know, contacting the state's Public Utilities Commission, I'm not sure what you'd do to find a rep.
Right.
Yeah. And so I know, as I say that story, I mention it just because I know that that's relatable. You know, in one form or another, that's exactly what we're dealing with. And I think that is precisely what leads to the type of behavior we're seeing in people, because everybody's living on their last nerve. And what it does is it gives you a sense of insecurity that you're not grounded. And I think the examples that you are dealing with are like, hey, wait a minute. On the outside, everything seems normal, you know, like the house is the same or the purse is the same. But inside, nothing's grounded. Everything is just a mystery.
Yeah, that's. I think you hit that right on the head. So, you know, I'm trying to figure out, okay, now that we know, you know, because I think that's exactly what's causing these dreams.
Yeah.
Now I got to figure out how to stop them because they are really upsetting me.
Sure. Well, one of the things, if you can lucid dream to any degree in the dream, say, I know this is a dream, you know, stop it. But the other thing, of course, is when you get up to recognize that it's nothing more than symbolic. But then within your daily life, I think it's important to try and put into order what you're working on achieving. You know, what's the biggest problem right now that you're facing, and try to one by one knock them off.
Yeah,
and it's not.
It seems like everything's like a big tangle.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
You know, I need to find one thing that I can hold on to and pull out of this tangle.
Right, absolutely. No, what you're saying, I do believe, Fran, is universal right now. I think we're all.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, we're all pretty much in the same place. And, you know, all the rules are gone. We don't understand. Economically, none of us can figure out this economy, no matter what anybody is saying. It makes absolutely no sense in the big picture. You know, then the other thing, of course, is we listen every day to this court proceeding or that court proceeding or this arrest or that arrest. And it seems like we used to think that the court system was, in fact, neutral, that it was not politicized, that we were a republic, a nation of law, and ultimately the law would prevail. And now we're seeing, not usually, not anymore, you know, you're seeing. Yeah. And that is very unnerving, because most of us took it for granted. And we now realize that, no, we're no different from any third world country.
That's right. Yeah, that's
and
right.
That's a big
hard
one.
To look at.
Right. It's a very, very big one to deal with. So, you know, and this is, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. This is not meant to be a political discussion, because absolutely it affects you no matter what side of the aisle you're on at this point in time. It may seem like.
Of course
like,
it does. Right. And it's all, and on top of it, both sides are politicizing it today.
Well, that, yes. And
playing on those fears that we have.
Right. And agencies that were supposed to be non-politicized, like the Justice Department, are tremendously politicized. And you know, and again, anybody who thinks that that's a biased statement, no, today it might be against one side, tomorrow it's against the other. It's not about who's winning the quote unquote war at the moment in time. These are supposed to be, you know, sacred institutions that are above this, and we're now seeing that they're not. And I think that gives everybody a dose of insecurity.
Sure. And then it's like, okay, what's true? Who's telling you? It's just...
Well, right.
I don't know.
Right, it's, yeah. Well, that's one thing for sure. You can't rely on the published report and say, oh, well, that's the way it is. Fortunately, if you're willing to spend the time, you can still dig deep enough to come to some information that you're not otherwise getting. But most people don't have that kind of time. And sadly, most people are biased going into it. They're looking to prove their hypotheses rather than get to the bottom of what's really happening.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so you're not alone. You know, when I think often that there are still a number of people who are in jail to this day without being charged on the events of January 6th a couple of years ago, that scares the living daylights out of me. And it has nothing to do with how you feel about the event or anything else. You don't think that anybody can be jailed like that and not charged for prolonged periods of time.
Oh, no, that's not right. No.
Well, and so, you know, there are probably so many other things in the backdrop. And again, when it starts to get politicized, some people say, well, you know, that serves them right. Not understanding that tomorrow it's them, you know, so.
Right.
I'm not sure, but I think that plays into the sense of insecurity that most people are feeling right now. And also, you know, when we talk about the economy, since 2008, the recovery has been fueled by easy availability of credit, of debt, extreme debt. And you look at credit card debt being at $1 trillion now, consumer credit card debt. That's an enormous number, and that's people who are not putting on cards the luxuries. They're putting on cards the necessities. And so,
I mean, you know, we've been in situations where we've had to do that.
Right.
Now we don't have credit cards.
Right. Well, but I mean, that's a backdrop. If people are literally having to finance just their day-to-day needs, not even, you know, their wants or their luxuries, but just the roof over their head and the meal in their mouth, that's a very insecure position to be in. So,
sure. And
so
we have jobs, you know, there's jobs, but people don't I don't know. It's just so confusing.
Well, and that thing, I mean, for the life of me, I don't understand how we can have just openings out the yin-yang and nobody to fill it. You still go to a restaurant and two-thirds of it are empty, but they don't use it because they don't have any wait staff to work there. And, you know, I don't get it. On the one hand, we are at a point now where we need less workers in many functions because of robotics and AI and all that. I understand that. But in the functions where you still need living, breathing people, why is it difficult to find? And you'll get a variety of answers to that. But the question still remains. We've never been here before. So it's very insecure. Of course it is. It couldn't be anything.
Of course, there is hope in the sense that I don't think AI is going to be quite as easy. I mean,
oh no, it'll deploy over decades, not 10 minutes. So I'm not concerned about any given facet of it. It is a paradigm shift, and it is changing the way we Earthlings interact on this planet. But moment to moment, no, you're not going to wake up tomorrow and find out life has turned into an AI nightmare. It doesn't work that way. So no.
Right.
But
you know, bad enough the self-checkout things.
Well, exactly. But you know, think about this: if you are a grocery store and you can't find employees who are willing to check out the groceries, you're really thrilled for self-checkout, particularly if you're now asked to pay $15 an hour for that function and you're trying to keep your prices down. You're thrilled with self-checkout, you know. So, and what's really sad is in some cases it gets to the point where it's, oh God, let me take self-checkout. I don't want these people handling it. You know, that's the worst part going. So, sure.
Yeah. And, well, of course, in my situation, I say if they're going to make us have self-checkout, they better make it talk.
Well, that's right. Oh, well,
you know, that's the thing that frustrates
yes.
me. Because I don't even go to the store anymore. I get my stuff delivered, and I have to pay more to do that because a lot of times they don't have the help in the store.
Right. No, 100%. And, you know, it's an absolute disgrace, the discrimination against people who cannot see. It's just that simple. It's crazy time, and it's crazy time from the
I
way...
I think what it is that people don't see us as needing... that. Oh, well, we've got people to help us.
Well, so many things, but there are so many misconceptions when it comes to the blind. You know, then you have people, well, we can go on and on. You know all the
oh,
things.
Oh, yeah. I know,
and
yeah.
It is just, as far as I'm concerned, the most abused and maligned group of individuals out there. And unacceptable on every level. And it's funny because there's so many things that the government mandates. The only thing is the government breaks every one of them. So
right.
All that and more makes your dreams seem commonsensical. I think probably just some meditation and just some saying that, hey, I'm not looking at the big picture. I'm looking at one thing at a time. This too shall pass. I will survive.
And I do.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, this yeah. is like a bad time right now, but it'll,
right.
it'll
no,
pass.
No, absolutely. And it's perfectly fine to have a pity party occasionally. Nothing wrong with that. Just limit the amount of time you're involved in it. So, yeah, I think you'll be fine, but we're all in a lessened position, unfortunately.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, Fran.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, bye. Bye. We'll find out what's going on in the world at large and more coming up on WGN Radio.
She's been away. I've never had a happy day. I hope and I pray that she'll hear my plea, and maybe someday she'll come back to me. For one, but
What did you do? Right from the start, you made a fool of me, and then you broke my heart.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, those are the Nutmegs. Another one, Jimmy P's Request. Story Untold, 1955 on Herald. Yeah, Al Silver's label had a lot of wonderful stuff on it. The Nutmegs were much like the Five Satins from New Haven, Connecticut. Indeed. And Story Untold, their big hit, of course, Ship of Love, the follow-up also in 55. There's one in between that did nothing, but Ship of Love kind of did. And then I like Coming Home, so maybe you'll hear both of those before the evening is out as well. So Jimmy P unleashed this on us, and he had six requests, and he only mentioned five of them, so I'll fill it in with a couple extra nutmegs. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. So I was just listening to the news that David Jennings was doing, and I get, you know, like every fifth word because I'm doing other things at the same time, and I hear Yellowknife. I'm like, Yellowknife? Who the hell is talking about Yellowknife? Yeah, the wildfires, but this is not in the neighborhood, anybody's neighborhood, because, you know, my hobby driving the U.S. interstate system. Well, after I finished that, which is more than the federal government did, I said, well, I'll just do Canada. And it's interesting because the drive from Edmonton to Yellowknife is paved. I'll give it that. But it's 18 hours. Yeah. And in between, about almost the halfway mark, you can stay overnight at high level. Yeah, they've even got a Super 8. But you talk about the middle of absolutely nowhere you otherwise would ever want to be. Yeah, that's Yellowknife. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And that will take us to Donald, and Donald is in Midway. All right, Donald, what's happening tonight?
Oh, nothing much. I'm just sitting here relaxing. You know, I turned 70 last week, so...
Happy. The big 7-0. All right.
Yeah, and not only that, I'm the oldest male in direct descent since the 19th century to reach 70.
Really?
Well, yeah, my father died at 57, his father at 56, and, you know, that goes back to the old country in the 19th century.
How are you feeling right now? How are you feeling? All good?
Yeah. I mean, I've got a clean bill of health from my doctor. My joints, I have bad arthritis, so I'll need a knee replacement.
Wow.
But other than that, my organs inside, I wish would look as good as the, you know, it could be on the outside.
Wow. All right.
Well, seem to be good.
Well, this is all good. Well, congratulations. Welcome to the neighborhood of septuagenarians.
Yep. And not only that, though, I wanted to talk briefly about time. I was going to talk about Chicago, but... we're talking earlier about time travel.
Yeah.
I just read a book. I read a lot. I have my own private library. I've been stocking with autograph books and regular books and all kinds of books for like some time now. And it's very interesting to read books about time travel. That's been a popular subject for about 130 years.
Yeah.
But this book I read recently was by a physicist. And he's also a novelist.
Uh-huh.
His name's Gregory Benford. And I'd suggest anybody who likes to read it. But it's not going to be a walk in the park because it's hard science fiction. You know, it's hard. And it actually makes a lot of sense. This book, Timescape, I read, got a lot of plaudits when it came out in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically how we can access the past or the future.
Uh-huh.
And it's through tachyons. Well, tachyons really do exist. They're actually faster than light particles.
Uh-huh.
So they go through, you know, basically when we're using ordinary light ideas,
mm-hmm.
we look into the sky and we see a star, and it's 50 light years away. So basically we're seeing a star's light that's 50 years old. So mm-hmm. we are kind of looking into the past, right?
Right.
Well, with faster than light particles, it goes right past that, right? It goes right past that into the past even further.
Right.
So just think, if we could actually communicate with people from the past using tachyon, because you're a radio, you use radio waves. Well, tachyons are faster than light itself. So just think, you could actually broadcast into the past or the future if it was a tachyon band, and if you could do that.
Well, that's sort of like my dream. You know, when you go into tunnels, there goes AM radio. I keep hoping I'll go into another tunnel and it'll all be there and I'll listen to it again.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a very interesting novel, and it's about 1998 contacting 1962 to tell them what lies ahead and what they shouldn't do, and sending formulas back and everything like that.
Wow.
And it actually works in the sense that time is not necessarily a straight line. It could be a causality loop.
Right.
So if you branch another area off, it's not a paradox, it's just another loop.
Yeah, I know that this guy's at UC Irvine, I think, and the only reason I know him is I think he did something on wormholes, and I'm very interested in wormholes, so for whatever reason. So yeah, I'm aware of him. And right, time is in many ways an artificial construct. I'm not sure that once we're no longer walking the Earth plane, that time is even a factor.
Right, right. The time itself is not progressive. Even Isaac Newton knew that.
Going
all the way back, the physicists that developed ideas. And certainly Einstein time is an artificial time. Because what we see is actually affected by us. So we change what is observed. So that automatically, it's not objective.
Everything no, of course it's not. Of course not. Yeah, right. Yeah, Schrodinger's cat and all that, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I'd like to bring that idea up. Look at Timescape. You know, I'm not hawking a book because the book itself is like 1980, right? But right. I would recommend anything by Gregory Benford, Benford, for anybody who really wants entertainment, but also intriguing ideas. It's almost like taking a physics class.
Yeah, he's got a website, gregorybenford.com.
And he's very bright, and it's not your usual just, you know, space aliens shooting ray guns and space opera. Yeah. It's not space opera. It's more like really thoughtful ideas.
Right.
And I think if you want an escape from the madness around us, or that there's hope, I think it might be good to journey into one of his books and come up with some interesting ideas, you know? You don't have to take it all in at once. It makes you think. You don't want to just sit there and read the whole novel of 400 pages in one gulp. It makes you think and go back to it, you know? And he's very talented in terms of his descriptions, too. And he's also a poet at times, you know, very good. I wanted to share that with you.
Yeah,
audience.
That's great. And he's a contributor to Reason Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think he's... I've seen him in Reason several times. So, and he's written a number of things. So, yeah, check him out. Why not?
Why not? Escape the madness. You know, what motivates us now is fear. And fear is not a thing to center on, you know?
Oh, but you know, those who want to control us, they know that so well. And unfortunately, the entire COVID experience proved to the powers that be that we are manipulable as a group by fear. We fall to it every time, and it's the easiest way to manipulate groups of people.
It's just about 1984, you know, the novel, 1984.
Yes, yes.
I've seen two versions of it recently, including the British version, which I would highly recommend. There's a British version of it that was done on BBC.
Uh-huh.
And it stars Peter Cushing as Winston Smith as the lead.
Uh-huh.
And it's really, really, really frightening. I think it's more frightening than the Edmund O'Brien one that came later, and it's more frightening than the John Hurt one that came after that.
Mm. Just what
so it's on YouTube. Anybody can access it. It's the Peter Cushing, who's very famous Hammer Studios actor, and played Sherlock Holmes, and played he was in the first Star Wars movie as a commander of the of the Death Star. You know, so but he had a long career, and you know, he's really good as the lead. And another person who's in it is Donald Pleasence.
Hmm.
Was the omnipotent actor in British acting, because he was in a lot of the Halloween movies later in his career, and he also appears as a major character in both the British the Cushing version and also the Edmund O'Brien. So he's in both of those. So and it's amazing because his fear is how they eventually got him, you know, and get control of people. So
yeah, oh yeah. Scary as hell. All right, good to talk to you. Thank you, Donald.
Thank you. It was fun. Thank you.
Yes. All right. So we'll hear from Donald again. I do hope. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. We'll get to Brian and his bad day and JT and his request all coming up on WGN Radio.
While I was falling, heaven in time. When I was feeling mighty fine. For I know you are waiting for me to return. I started calling out to you. You won't believe me, baby, I was true. A little kiss and far as I will go. You know I love you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's more Nutbags 2 years after Story Untold. We got Coming Home, which I thought was a terrific record. It did absolutely nothing, but gave us several more nonsense syllables to add to our repertoire. That's about it. So, JT has a request, and he is in Aurora. So, JT, what's up tonight on WGN?
Oh, I'm looking for something by Gene McDaniels. He had quite a few hits in the early 60s.
Yes, he absolutely did. I know my favorite. What's yours?
Tower of Strength.
Really? Oh, mine's Point of No Return.
Oh, that was a good one, too.
Yeah.
Chip Chip or 100 Pounds of Clay.
Yeah,
also.
Chip Chip is wonderful, where they're actually just beating on the heating pipes.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
All good choices.
Any one of them is good.
And you know, Gene McDaniels didn't want to record any of them.
Really?
This was a fight. He used to fight with Snuff Garrett all the time because Gene McDaniels wanted to be a serious singer. And, you know, here is Snuffy Garrett, who's having to explain again that Liberty is a for-profit company. And so Gene would complain and complain, and the ones he complained the most about became the biggest hits.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. All right. So we will, JT, we will get you some Gene McDaniels, I promise.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank
good you. Deal. Thanks. Yes, hard to pass that up. They're all good. And let's try and think if there's anything I can play that we haven't played before by him that might be interesting. Well, it gives me a couple minutes to think about it anyway. Brian is in Joliet with a bad day. What went wrong, Brian? It was so bad he hung up. Oh, well. I hope he is in the arms of Morpheus at this point, meaning asleep, and that the day will be better tomorrow. It was not a good day for several people. I got emails from friends as well, and yeah, particularly those who are going through legal things, you know. And yeah, I can almost laugh because of course I'm not at the other end of this, but you know, you have a lawyer who tells you to get 18 things, and you get 18 things. I don't want any of those. Why didn't you bring me? And it's something completely that you've never heard of before. I need it by tomorrow. Yeah, Christmas is coming too. So yeah, nothing more frustrating than those kind of things, those adversarial things that nobody likes, and basically from time to time everybody has to deal with one way or another. So 888-876-5593 is 8888. Rod, we've got another hour to spend together. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine, or else I'll threaten the tabloids again. That's right, slime from the checkout line. We have several that we can read. But I was just taking a look at something that wasn't in the tabloids, and interesting enough, was not one of James's links. Usually they are, but this one actually came from a publicist in Phoenix. But it's a group of local mothers are addressing the Levine Elementary School District Board following the release of a video that shows the choking of a fifth grade student by the assistant superintendent at the school. What? Yeah, I can't begin to imagine what precipitated the assistant superintendent to choke a fifth grader. Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, depending on how you look at it, the film wasn't ejected to the email, and they're addressing Levine Elementary District tomorrow. The Jordan family, I think it was their son, along with their attorney and Black Mothers Forum, will be doing the addressing. Yeah, I can't imagine. Because, you know, you kind of in your mind try to put yourself in the place of, say, in this case, the assistant superintendent. And you think to yourself, what on earth could cause me to decide I was choking a 10-year-old? Yeah, well, I guess that'll be the topic of tomorrow night's discussion. I doubt we'll bring it up later, but I got another thing to do. Another thing, what am I saying? I got 4,832 links from James, all sorts of things, and plenty of time for your call coming up on WGN Radio.
Why don't you write me, darling? Send me a letter. Tell me you love me, dear. Make me feel better.
Classic doo-wop. That's for Jimmy P. The Jacks. Why don't you write me? 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we got one more Jimmy P. request. May God be with you, the Dan Lears. And eventually we'll find out what the sixth one was. They didn't tell us. We'll try to get more of your requests coming. I got a couple by email, including someone who wanted to hear the Electric Slide. No, the Electric Slide is the dance. The Electric Boogie is the record, Marcia Griffith, and I can play that for you. So, but speaking of play that, I don't know if Johnny D is still with us, but well, I mean tonight, not permanently, but tonight. He in fact encountered Lisa, who wins our trivia contest, and Lisa had mentioned that she's never in a Johnny D song, so Johnny D decided to write a song for Lisa.
This song is called "Why Not Lisa," patterned after "I'm Not Lisa." I took some liberty with the tempo. Why not Lisa? This song's for Lisa. I should have made it long ago. It's not for Riley, Fran Jan, or Scotty. They've all been mentioned in my songs before. Lisa calls on trivia night. It seems she's always right. She knows who starred in movies long ago. Oh, Lisa, your prize is on its way. You should have it by New Year's Day. That's New Year's Day of 2034. You see, Raleigh's a procrastinator. This song is not long, but your name's in this song. Now your name's been mentioned in a Johnny D song. Hope you like it, Lisa. Why not Lisa?
All right, so now Lisa has a song. So I don't know if Lisa heard it or if Johnny D heard it, but you did. So 888-876-5593. Yeah, emotional support animals. And, you know, I say scam, and of course the theory behind it is not at all. The idea of people with problems mentally or psychologically, emotionally, needing something for support and grounding, so to speak. I think it's a great thing. But unfortunately, what's happened, of course, is people are submitting their animal, usually dogs or cats, to whatever agency of the month has found going to give you a certificate saying it's an emotional support animal. And meanwhile, they're running amok in the grocery store or what have you. But nonetheless, I was looking at this, and of course, John saying, the heck with chicken. And by the way, so chickens for emotional support animals, and they have portlets that they're making them get rid of. Were the chickens using them? I'm sure there's a lot more to that story. But I was thinking, how about a reptile? And then it occurred to me, well, they won't taste good. No, not eating them. How about a reptile for an emotional support animal? It turns out that many people do have them. The problem is when they're snakes and people bring them with them wherever it is they're going, because it tends to clear a room for the most part. But as far as lizards, they apparently make fine emotional support animals, should you want one. But don't let it run loose, that's for sure. Some of them run up to 30 miles an hour. They are fast little buggers, yeah. So I would say, on average, they're sprinting at 12 miles an hour, but some of them, like the black iguana and a couple others, 30 miles an hour. So I'm not sure that you're up for that unless you're trying not only for emotional support, but a lot of exercise. So the average adult iguana can run up to 20 miles an hour. That's interesting. And obviously they're escaping predators. And, you know, you'd say finding food secondarily, but mostly escaping predators, which I can readily understand. All right, so before we get to the tabloids, that's right, slime from the checkout line. It could come to that. We'll see some of the other stories that we got from James, who the king of more stories than anyone could ever read, but all of them are interesting. And as I was saying last night, people are behaving worse and worse. I mean, I always say people are behaving badly. No, it's insanity at this point. I haven't yet found the answer to what a Levine assistant superintendent of schools was doing choking a fifth grader. But what was very disheartening to me was when I put that in the search engine, without the word Levine, it turned out like 50 events in the last year. I'm like, wait a minute, this is a thing? Apparently so. So meanwhile, of course, if it's directly happening to you, of course, it has more impact than not. And so it is that apparently Sunday in Ocala, Florida, Boston Market temporarily closed without any notice, leaving the employees to wonder how they'll pay their bills. But apparently they've been wondering it a while. What they're saying is, due to supply chain shortages, we only have a limited menu. Please ask our team for availability. Well, that then devolved into, we're closed. And the individuals who work there are saying, it's been a month since we've been paid. So, no emails, no calls. And so apparently for weeks before going dark, they made sacrifices on the menu items. And a spiraled mac and cheese was altered to pare down on expensive ingredients. And apparently customers quickly took to Google to voice their dissatisfaction. So that's to say the least. So meanwhile, apparently you're seeing a number of places that are closing, not so much because they don't have have customers, but they don't have workers. And this particular Boston Market says, well, we hope we're coming back. But there's no reason to necessarily believe it. 888-876-5593. All right, Brian called back. We're going to hear all about his bad day. All right, and maybe it'll make us feel better only because we're not dealing with quite as much stress. So, Brian, let's hear it.
Well, I'm not, you know, after listening to some others, rather than talking about myself, maybe I can be of some help to somebody else, and maybe that'll make me feel better, you know.
Well, maybe, but just in a nutshell, what was wrong with your day?
Oh, it had to do with, first of all, let's just say my health is less than stellar.
Oh.
And then it has to do with me getting ripped off blind. I needed a new thermostat, you know, because having air conditioning is kind of a good idea, you know,
yeah.
at this time.
Yeah.
And I'm over the age of retirement, too.
Yeah.
And then this is, I'll keep it short. They get it wrong the first time, then call them back the second time, and the warranty expires, bring them back, they got to pay more, get it wrong again, come back again, put in another one, four different ones. They without asking, they took out the first thermostat. The guy was here and, in effect, stole it because
mm-hmm.
I didn't ask if they can take it with.
Right, right, of course.
And then the new one, this one don't work either. And they keep finding new problems here and there. And I got to keep paying for it, you know.
And meanwhile, you're without air conditioning?
Oh, I have it, but it ain't working.
Well, that's
right.
Yeah, that's without it. If it's not working, that qualifies as not. All right. Well, that's
yeah.
the worst part.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so,
so
sorry.
That's just part of it, and I really appreciate your asking, but it's just called getting ripped off. Really ripped off.
Oh, yeah.
And,
believe me, I know. Last year I spent, $40,000 on a plumber? Don't start me. So, yeah, I understand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have the same thing with... okay. I want to get back to something different.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, first of all, there was a lady who called in earlier... who was, I understand, she says she was blind?
Yeah, Fran.
Yeah, well, given the fact that all my friends are dead, I can't put it any other way than that, passed away would be a better way of putting it.
Dead's fine.
And I only got one relative left that cares if I live or die.
Uh-huh.
Consequently, really, I got nothing to do, and if I can make people feel better a little bit, this is something interesting. My mother used to say this a lot. I'm not a religious bigot. I got my own, ideas, but I do believe in God and my own conception. But this is might be helpful. Let me take my eyeglasses off. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Yeah.
I think that...
The serenity is a serenity prayer, of
right.
course. Yes.
Well, and,
everybody who's ever been to an AA meeting knows that one.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, that's
that.
That's absolutely. You betcha. And it's interesting about his origin. There are a lot of fights about what that was. Not that it matters, but it's used most widely in the AA program.
And, that man who called in earlier, 1984, and referenced that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of I agree 100% on that. And blend that in with Huxley's... Brave New World.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where it's at now, unfortunately.
Well.
And let's see. A big cause of all these problems is indifference. And I can go on and on because I had took a bachelor's degree in communication science, and I took a minor in radio television. And a minor in philosophy, and I went on to get my master's degree in philosophy. And a branch of that is, of course, the psychology. And then until the 1890s, for whatever reason, they separated themselves and just ripped off their ideas from previous philosophers and just switched a bunch of words around. So I know just as much as any psychologist.
Okay.
So if anybody wants any help, I got nothing to do.
Oh, yes, sir. I see. Okay, okay. So like Lucy and the Peanuts thing, a nickel will help you out. Yeah, I don't know. I think that most of us, sadly, while the specifics may change, we're all kind of in the same boat at this point. And I think the problems are more more universal than not. Like I say, the idea of the lack of personal interaction when dealing with companies or things like that, I think more than anything that drives people crazy when they feel that they're not empowered to be able to rectify situations in their life that are going wrong. And I concur. I can understand the frustration on that. So I think voicemail will be the death of all of us, especially voice menus. Press 1 for this and 2 for that and 4 to quack like a chicken. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, as for me, I never had social media, but from what I heard, I'm not missing much.
No, and you know, that's also part and parcel of our age, too, to a degree. But, yeah, we can be perfectly fine as social as we want without media. But yeah, that is a huge problem for young people because, you know, in the past, when you're growing up, a lot of that is pretty anonymous and you try on identities and you do things and you go through stages and phases and all that. And ultimately, it doesn't normally in past times follow you. You know, so if you had your goth period or you had some other thing or whatever, you weren't known for it. But now, with virtually everything you're doing, categorized and online for a lifetime, I'm not 100% sure what individuation and coming of age is going to be about for kids in the future.
Well, you know, in the last 30 years, the technology has advanced so rapidly, you know, and then yeah, that's who I feel sorry for the worst is children and teenagers regardless
yeah.
of, I'm not a racist either or a sexist, I feel sorry for children of any race or either sex or and teenagers, you know. Because
they're
not responsible for producing this mess that...
Right. So it's going to be interesting to see how this evolves when, you know, when we were young, we were threatened with our permanent record. Well, now there is a permanent record. It's known as the Internet. And it's hard to escape your past. And things that, as I say, for kids that would try on for size and say, nah, that's not me, I'll go to something else, they no longer have the anonymity to develop that way. And so, you know, it's hard to say how that will play out. But I guarantee you the biggest change in human beings on this planet has been the advent of digital. And we've been leading up to it really since the start of the Industrial Revolution. And ultimately, it's more of a game changer than when our cavemen figured out the wheel.
Yeah, well, I think it was better, you know, it was my belief that child is, or you know, even like on the last two Halloweens, amazingly, every single one of them had manners, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, that was cool to see.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see, you know, I saw, you know, Hispanics, young, you know, black Hispanic kids, black kids, white kids, they're all getting along and all of them have manners. It's like, you know, where you can't blame children.
No, and you don't blame children, obviously. Occasionally we will hear something that will, you know, just make us stop and wonder, like first graders shooting teachers and all that. But there again, I think you dig deeper, of course. You have adults in the mix heavily in these stories. It's not children. But,
I believe that every child is born with some kind of natural, creative, different gifts.
You're probably right. And, you know, that now we're getting into philosophy or even into spiritualism in terms of why do we incarnate on this planet and why are we here? and what happened before and what happens next, so to speak. Not that time is linear off the earth plane, but you understand the theory. So sure, now the interesting thing about beliefs are they are just that. They're not easily empirically proved, if at all. And so that's why wars are fought over this, from individuals who want to force their viewpoints upon someone else. As far as I'm concerned, whatever anybody wants to believe, go for it.
Well, yeah, that is part of the problem, is that you have too many people who are, forcing their particular, I've studied Buddhism, Taoism, all kinds of religions, but you got too many people these days also who are trying to force down your throat their the brand they smoke.
Well, except it's not so much these days. You see, here again, this is where you find out that human nature is static, because if you look at the great wars of civilization, of written civilization, you'll find behind most of them is religion, is difference in viewpoints. So this is nothing new. This is the human
condition.
I know,
but with the new technology.
Right, well, and we'll see what that means. There's no doubt that at this point, technology has eclipsed wisdom. And so we are able to do more things than probably it would be wise for us to do it. But sure, that puts it on another playing field, but it doesn't change human nature.
What do you think human nature is, Raleigh?
I think human nature is static, and I think you can, and I'm going to have to go to news, and they'll talk about things that they think matter, and as opposed to what we're talking about. But here is the deal. You can read literature from any point in recorded history, and you'll see that the themes of human nature are exactly the same as they are today. I think the first time I discovered that, I was probably in junior high, and I read some Heinrich Ibsen, and the plays, and I was saying, my God, that's what they're talking about today. And then I started to look further, and yes, the human condition does not change. All right, you've ended the half hour. Good to talk to you, and thank you for calling back.
Okay, Raleigh, well, maybe we can pick this up again some other time.
Absolutely. As soon as nobody's calling, we will talk. All right, thanks. All right, Johnny D did hear a song, so we'll get to Johnny D, and we'll get to Stephanie and Madison, and there's room for you, too. But as for what's going on in the world at large on WGN Radio.
It's electric!
So somebody emailed and wanted to hear it. Like I say, it's an electric slide. No, the dance is the electric slide. The song is the electric boogie. And actually, one of the Wailers wrote it, one of the original of the Jamaican reggae groups, Bob Marley's group, actually wrote that. And Neville Livingston, he had his own record label, Solomonic. And that is the label that originally distributed Marsha Griffith's The Electric Boogie. And she was born in Jamaica in 1949. And yes, it is to this day a huge wedding song. And it's got it all, really. So it was not a hit by any degree in terms of radio, but in terms of club action and in-person venues, oh man, still up there. All right, so with that in mind, Stephanie is in Madison. Hello, Stephanie. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey there, Raleigh. I was going to use a call from my iPhone tonight, but this phone here is my little wonky, but I can hear you. Several things. First off, my husband and I have been married for 43 years. It is our 43rd wedding anniversary.
Today?
Yep, today.
Well, yes. happy. Yep. How'd you celebrate?
Basically, we're not. It just came on today. It's the 17th.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, it gives you all day to plan.
Yeah, exactly. We'll figure something out. He likes to go. We have a lot of outdoor festivals and a lot of outdoor music stuff. He kind of really gets really passionate about wanting to go to those particular ones. He's got a lot of we both have a lot of musician friends, but anyway. We were going to get married on the 16th yesterday, but that's also the day that Elvis died, so we didn't want to do that. It's our 43rd wedding anniversary, and I also wanted to find out the guy Spider, but you play a song by Spider.
Yeah, Spider Jive and Andy Fairweather Low, because when John Ara retired due to bad health on WLAC, they replaced him with Spider Harrison. And that was actually the first African-American jock they had play in that R&B music. And so Spider Harrison was there, and when Spider Jiving came out a couple months after he'd been on the air, he was like, this is my theme, and he played it all the time.
I love it. I love it. I love that song. I also taken request Twine Time by Alvin Cash.
And the Crawlers, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I love it, love it, love it, love it. So what was Don Steele's, what was his last name?
Revert, R-E-V-E-R-T.
Say that again.
Don Steele Revert, R-E-V-E-R-T was his last name, Revert.
Yeah, Robert. Okay, like Robert, except with an E. Okay.
And a V. R-E-V.
And a V.
R-E-V.
Yep, R-E-V.
E-R-T. R-E-V. Yeah, R-E-V like Victor, E-R-T. Revert.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this phone. The main thing I wanted to mention, I had this idea. I love songs about the radio. I know they're out there. But I was thinking about the connectivity, how radio really can be there when somebody's lonely or wants to talk or whatever, wants a good conversation or it's such a wonderful medium.
Did you ever hear the PR Battle song? And by the way, I know it sounds weird for somebody's name to be PR Battle, but it was the guy's name. He was a songwriter, and he wrote one called Radio Loves You. Have you ever heard it?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'll let you hear some of it. Here is PR Battle.
Yes.
I'm laying back in my girlfriend's Cadillac, and it's a pleasant Sunday drive and a drink of beer. Just about dark, it's sundown in the park, and a beautiful backseat love affair. And the radio sings to you,
radio,
radio loves you,
loves you, radio,
radio really loves you. Memories on wax take you there, it'll get you everywhere.
Radio loves you,
radio really loves you. Memories on wax, take
So there he is, Paul Robert Battle, PR Battle, Radio Loves You.
That is cool. I've never heard that. But I was thinking, I thought some other ones, but the two songs that had come to mind that kind of I wanted to, you know, call you and, you know, I don't know if you want to, like, maybe feature, intermittently feature songs about the radio or do a maybe a night, but Thank God for the Radio, the Kendalls. Okay. Thank God for the Radio. You know, it's on you, yeah. The dad and
yeah, no, I know who they are. No, I'd rather hear Top 40 News, Weather, and Sports.
Oh, that's a great one. The other one I thought about was Charlie McLean, Sleeping with the Radio On. There's just ones that came across. And there's like WOLD, you know, Harry Chapin.
Yeah.
No. I love that News, Weather, and Sports. Oh, yeah. Ray Peterson, right?
Yep, absolutely. Top 40.
Oh, yeah. God, that's yeah.
Yeah, all right. But, well, I can play that. I don't think I'll play the other two, but I can play that. And Radio Loves You, by the way, was on A&M. So we were mentioning Jerry.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah, and so, Peter Yarrow, co-producer.
RP Battle.
PR Battle, like Public Relations. PR Battle.
Got it. PR Battle. Got right. Paul Robert Battle. Yeah. Oh, that is cool. Yeah. I love it. I always, you know, pick up something cool calling in. And so I just wanted to throw that out there, but yeah, hey, Alvin Cash and the Crawlers,
all right.
I love
we'll do it. All right, thanks.
Well, say,
appreciate it.
You have a good one, okay?
And you too.
I'll talk to you again.
Okay, good. Thanks. Appreciate it, 70. All right, so 888-876-5593, and Peter Yarrow co-produced Radio Loves You, yeah, with Barry Beckett. And, of course, it was 1977. It did absolutely nothing, but it's kind of the quintessential let's play a radio song, other than, of course, Top 40 News, Weather, and Sports. All right, so Johnny D, welcome back to WGN.
Yes. Hello, Raleigh. Yeah, I'm still with you. I heard you say... You know, you're wondering if I was still with you. I'm still with you.
Well,
you know who else is with us?
I hope
the
Lisa.
The lovely, intelligent Becky. Beck, say hello. Say hi.
Hi.
Hey, Becky.
Hi, Raleigh.
Hey, Becky, you're awake. What's causing that?
I came in here and woke her up.
Oh, please.
I got in bed with her. We're in bed, me and my lovely, intelligent Becky.
Well, then,
and I got to go to work tomorrow morning.
And she got to work tomorrow. She got to go babysit her grandchildren.
Man, I tell you, you get some sleep, Becky.
Yeah, well, I wish I could.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? You're Johnny D, you know.
Well,
all right, I'm dying. Go ahead, go to sleep.
Yeah, yeah. Go back down to Caesar.
Hey, yeah, wait. There you go.
Yeah. Me and Caesar. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what's cool.
Yeah.
That song, by that Lisa song, that was cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, no, I hope Lisa heard it.
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
Worked hard on that song.
Yeah, yes, you did, and you did a lovely job, so thank you.
Yeah, because I told her she'll get her prize by 1934.
Well, it's so funny you said that, because before that line even came out, when you said you get the prize by New Year's Eve, I thought, yeah, 1924 maybe, and then you said 34, and I thought, yeah, that's about right.
All right, so anyhow, I requested the electrical slide.
Oh, yeah, okay, so it's called Electric Boogie.
Well, I don't know, one night you were playing line dance or something.
Yes, right, and it is a big dip, but I mean, always remember, the dance is the electric slide, the song is the electric boogie.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, I don't know.
Now you
I
do.
I just remember being at weddings and...
Oh, absolutely, to
all
this
these
day.
Girls would get up.
Right, to this
know,
day.
Start doing it.
Yep.
So I got in line one time. I was...
Oh, jeez.
That's I'm great. Out of time. I was trying to follow these people, you know.
Well, yeah, you're always the entertainment. That's the way it works.
Well, if they'd have played something funky, then I'd show them how to do it, you know.
Well, sure. And then, of course, Lee Schott Williams came up with Juke Joint Slide. Maybe I'll play that next.
Juke Joint, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Hey, but I got one question from previous callers. I thought Albert Einstein said... And the one fellow you were talking to said, you got to go faster than the speed of light. Albert Einstein said nothing could go faster than the speed of light, didn't he?
Well, it's not that cut and dry.
Yes, it is.
Well, he did say it, but well, actually, I will say he didn't really say it that way. What he was saying is nothing could travel faster than light in a vacuum. But in any event, there are a lot of things since then that people have come up with. So
really.
Yeah, I mean, he hypothesized that nothing was traveling faster than the speed of light. But then, right, then you get, the Dunham-Quine proposal. Remember that? And
no.
Well, yeah, and there are a bunch of things like that. I wish it was that cut and dried, but it's not.
You had physicists on your show before, didn't you?
I have done that in the past.
Well, get them on. I want to hear about all that stuff.
All right, all right. We'll try to find. Right. We'll try to find somebody who's fun. All right, thanks.
Well, hopefully, she heard her song. If she didn't, when she calls, play it for her if you can.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's
all
up
right.
To you.
Good deal.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye bye.
And what Einstein was postulating was that observers in relative motion would measure the same speed of light in a vacuum, and it's a distinction, but. Yeah, who cares? I wish that Richard P. Feynman was still alive because he was my favorite physicist. I adored this guy. But sadly, he's no longer with us. But 888-876-5593 if you want the final word, and maybe we will get someone to... and, of course, pop physics, which, you know, your physics professors hate. They always deride you for that. But pop physics is a lot of fun. And the things people are coming up these days, you know, who cares about Schrodinger's cat anymore? We got bigger animals to discuss. All right, all this and more coming up on WGN Radio.
Y'all, what they was doing. Went to the juke joint. Everyone was funky high. Dance they were doing, y'all. Took me by surprise. Pushed all the tables and chairs.
James Lee Schott Williams, yeah, Henry Lee Williams, who actually, while he was from Mississippi, he moved to Chicago in the 50s and made his first recordings in 1962. And from the throughout the 60s and even the 70s, he was a Chicago fixture. But ultimately, beach music claimed him. Yeah, the Chicago soul circuit as well. He moved back to the South and did Juke Joint Slide, and so sort of loosely patterned on Marsha Griffiths. And I realized after I talked to Stephanie, it was not Ray Peterson. It was another death singer who did Top 40 News, Weather, and Sports. Mark Dinning. Yeah, Mr. Teen Angel.
Last night I was getting my homework up and listening to my radio. I was kind of sleepy but was writing my theme while I was digging my DJ show. It was Top 40 News and Weather and Sports, and I was writing on current affairs. Next morning when I got up to read my theme, you should have seen all the classroom stare. Cause I had a new mumba, I'm doing the rumba to the tune of the Blue Tango. I had a bum on all the snowman hunters, bringing in Fidel Castro. talk too much. And there was
Brenda. Well, it was better than Teen Angel. So 888-876-5593. And yeah, Lee Shot Williams did a Juke Joint Slides. I wanted an album on Echo when he was on ECKO Records, and which was a couple times. Their Memphis label, and it was... probably, I don't know that they were ever trying to release hits. I know that sounds odd, but it was more like it was a roster of Southern soul or blues or gospel performers. And, you know, it's places like Denise LaSalle wound up there, and, you know, Barbara Carr. And names you would remember if you're hardcore a soul fan, but I don't think they were ever really trying to sell a lot of records. All right, well, that pretty much is a wrap. We'll do it again tomorrow night. I hope you'll call. Attendance will be taken. Until then, we thank Adam for keeping us on the air. We thank John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling. It makes the show easier to do. More of you should have done that tonight. Mend your ways tomorrow night, 21 hours from now. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.